You made a very, very wise decision today to join us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. As always, coming to you from the outstanding studios they provide for us, because we are talking with a football lifer, Mark Duffner. Mark Duffner has been around the game for a long time. We're talking about the combine, the draft at the combine with Mark Duffner. We talked to him when he was in his hotel room the week of the combine. Over a quarter of a century of combines he's participated in, and he has been unbelievably valuable in unearthing draft picks as well as college free agents, kids that don't get drafted. And those are sometimes uncovered initially at the combine as well. But Mark Duffner, man, he's unbelievable with his opinions about personnel and coaching them up. And he's had tremendous successes at the collegiate and professional level. Mark Duffner is a football guy, and he's proud of it. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And as always, we're in the studios that they provide for us so generously. And boy, you are smart to join us today, because we have one of the great guys in the game of football. We have a football lifer, this guy by the name of Mark Duffner. And when he was in high school in the Washington, D.C. area, he gets recruited by a guy named Bobby Ross at William & Mary. And he wants to take him to William & Mary and play for Marv Levy, who's the head coach at William & Mary at the time. And when he gets done playing some college football as a defensive lineman, Woody Hayes wants him to come to Ohio State as a graduate assistant. I mean, we're talking football royalty. I mean, you talk about mentors. So then his first job at Holy Cross as a head coach in 6 years, he only goes 60 wins, 5 losses and a tie. Are you kidding me? Just dominates as a head coach at Holy Cross. And then he gets into the National Football League in 1997 as a coach. I mean, again, we're talking about a football lifer, and the Cincinnati Bengals very fortunate to have Mark Duffner on the defensive side of their coaching staff doing his thing. Coach, welcome.
Thank you, Dave. It's a privilege and honor to be with you today. And thank you for the kind comments, too.
Well, I mean, they're well deserved. I mean, it's been a heck of a football life. There's no question about that. I can see you're in a hotel room in Indianapolis. Combine going on. Things are cooking once again. And how many combines is it now, Coach? How many combines have you been a part of?
Shoot, Dave, this is my 28th straight. So I've been very blessed to be able to be in Indianapolis for the combine for 28 straight years.
28 straight years. That's amazing. And I know you're highly regarded by the people that put on the combine, and you're one of the privileged coaches that is down on the football field, actually on the field as the players go through their drills and trying to impress people in the National Football League. How big of an advantage is it for you to be right down there as the guys that are showing their wares as such?
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, first and foremost, I'm very thankful to the people in the league, the scouts and whatever, to ask me to be down there and participate and help them in any way I can. It's a tremendous, I think, advantage to either run a drill or be down there in close proximity, observing, listening to the players, how they listen to the instructions of the drill, how they're going to perform it, watch them compete, watch them interact with their teammates or the coaches running the drill. So all those things add to the evaluation process in terms of how you're trying to determine, can this man be a positive influence and an addition to your club?
So you want to see, is he a leader or follower kind of thing? You can see that, you know, right down there up close and personal. I mean, it's a heck of a situation. I mean, how much has the combine changed over the 28 years? I mean, how different is the combine today than the one that you participated in like 28 years ago?
Well, I think it's, as far as the testing and all that part of it, the true actual on the field stuff, not that much. However, the length of time that you're in Indianapolis is longer right now, because they're doing more with the players away from scouts, away from coaches, medical, all kinds of different testing, all different avenues. And so that, I think probably the access that we have to the player to interview them whether it be formally or informally, is probably the same, but the access that you have, the actual calendar day access, has been spread out, so you're here a little longer. I think the NFL's done a really good job in trying to make it as an efficient evaluative tool that the clubs can use, both as coaches and personnel staff, to come up with an opinion on a player, both from an interview standpoint and also from a testing standpoint. But it makes for a long day, long days and long week.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So many guys decide not to work out. You know, quarterbacks in particular are not going to throw, not going to do anything, or just wait for the pro day. How is that? That's a big change, obviously, from, 28 years ago. That everybody wanted to go and compete. I mean, the combine was a big deal. I remember, when I was in college, the Senior Bowl was the game you wanted to get invited to because it was like a mini combine. I mean, owners even, general managers, head coaches, everybody's at the Senior Bowl, and they're all like making a circle around you, watching you perform your task and everything right there. It was like a big job interview. The combine has become that, but it's kind of, over the years, it's changed that way, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of, you'll see starting the testing. We start the testing tomorrow with the defensive line and linebackers, and you'll see a number of participants that'll say, well, I'm going to wait until my pro day, or now even the Big 12 is having their own kind of a combine on, I think, March 28th or 29th in Frisco, Texas, I think. So they may wait to, obviously, that's taking the place of some of those schools' individual pro days. Right. So some are waiting for that, and some have legitimate reasons. Some have, they've just come off the bowl, either the East-West Shrine Game or the Hula Bowl or the Senior Bowl, any of those showcases, and coming back from maybe a nick or a knack from that participation. And then some maybe aren't just ready in their testing. So the combine is still a very worthy part of the process of evaluation. You hope that everybody, because they got all the eyes of the league on them, as you said, owners, GMs, coaching staffs, that they'll participate both in the interview process and also in the testing process. But you take advantage of whatever opportunity you have with these young men prior to the draft. We'll also have Zoom calls that we'll conduct. So there's a lot of work in addition to the film work we've already done to come up with a ranking and a process of selection.
So when I think of the combine now, I think, two important things, like the M&M. It's the M&M week, not just M&M candy. I'm talking about medical and meetings. It's like medical part of it is a big deal, particularly if a guy has had some sort of a surgery. I mean, that's, everybody wants to make sure that they have, their hands on these guys, and they'll do that, obviously. There's combine doctors, but individual team doctors will do that later. But to get a handle on how they have recovered and all that sort of thing. And then the meetings with players, like you talk about, the actual interview sessions with those players. That's big, isn't it, to look your kid in the eye and really figure out what he's all about?
Yeah, very much so. And although I'll say this, too, over the years, you've asked how has it evolved a little bit. The players now are much more prepared and rehearsed for the interview process than they used to be when I first had the privilege to do it 28 years ago. Right. And I, again, if I was an agent and I had a client, I'd probably want him to be prepared too. I'd prepare him also to do the best he can. And we get a limited time. There's a time frame of 15 minutes for the informals, and probably that even in the formal interview. So you kind of just kind of whet your appetite on the player, an initial opinion, and then you'll follow that up with in-person visits as we go to visit pro days or set up individual workouts. And then coupled with, there'll be three Zoom opportunities, I believe, starting after the combine, that you'll be allowed to have. So all of those will go into that interview process evaluation and how, what you think positively and negatively of a player.
The cognitive testing has been kind of adapted and changed a little bit. In my mind, it's like, what kind of football smarts do these guys have? And even back in like 1974, when, I was going through the process, we didn't have a combine or anything like that, but the coaches, like, they would come to the All-Star games you're talking about. And I made the circuit, man. I went blue, gray, east, west, Hula Senior Bowl. I was gone 5 weeks, man, four All-Star games. I made the run, and it was great. So then coaches would come to Syracuse for the one-on-one. They time you and all the put you through a little agility drills and things of that nature. And then they take us in back in the day. It was a blackboard, not a grease board. It was a blackboard. And I remember Bill Tiger Johnson with the Bengals came, and he started drawing all these defenses up on the board. And he goes, all right, here's our pro defense, 4-3 look. Here's our Ram weak, which is like an underlook. You know, defensive linemen are away from the tight end covering the center. And then here's the over. We called it Ram strong, Ram weak, over and under. You know, the defense shifted over the tight ends. And here's all these different defenses. He diagrammed them up there. And he put them up there for a while. And you know, and then started doing some other things. Erased them. Started doing some other things on the blackboard. And then after about a half an hour, he goes, all right, David, you come up here. Will you draw Ram weak for me? You know, draw the defense. So he wanted to see what kind of retention, you know. And it was like, hey, and this is pretty interesting, you know. And Paul Brown, as you know, I mean, Paul was big on when I was a rookie. It was like first test he gave us for assignments. He didn't want you to know just what you were supposed to do. He didn't want you tunnel visioning on what you were doing. If you were pulling guard, center reaching, tackle blocking down, fullback filling, what's going on? What's going on around you? So he gave you two grades. Grade for your assignments up in the upper left-hand corner, the whole team's assignments in the upper right-hand corner. Paul Brown, man, I mean, a big part of what he wanted to evaluate with players, how much football intelligence, what kind of football IQ do they have? That's a big deal in this process, isn't it?
Very much so. And as you mentioned, Paul Brown, what a innovator he was in all areas, whether it be coaching, whether it be strategy, whether it be in player acquisition, player evaluation. I mean, what you just described is what we're still doing today in terms of trying to assess a player's ability to learn in a short time, his recall ability, and then the depth of his intelligence or awareness in terms of football. So, everything I continue to hear, I hear it even today, way out in front of it, way ahead of the curve in terms of Coach Brown and what he was all about. But, yeah, no, we're trying to, when we meet with these players, trying to determine, again, what kind of depth of football knowledge they have, not only their position, but of their scheme, of what their teammates are supposed to do. And during that process, it also just reveals a lot about the character of the player. And that, you know, I got to say real quickly that Duke Tobin, the personnel staff, Mike Brown, Katie, Troy, and then the coaching staff led by Zach Taylor have done a great job, I believe, in not only bringing in, we think, top athletes, but top people. And it's in the total package, the character, the drive, the competitiveness of the player that we brought recently to the Bengals, I think, which has allowed really the push we have towards championship, you know, and winning.
I know that everybody in the organization has a high regard for your opinion on all that kind of thing. You are a big, big piece of that entire process. And they do. They lean on your opinions. I mean, I know that I've heard that from multiple places, and that's just I think that's a testament. I mean, you've got tremendous people skills, and that's something that either you can, you know, I guess you don't want to be conned, right? I mean, you have to. Okay, is this guy legit or is he conning me? What's going on here?
Well, I think that, you know, again, all of us have people skills and you know, sense, if you will, and gut opinions. And you know, I've been fortunate to be around it for a long time, both collegiately and in the NFL. And so, and this is a people business. And so, and you really, I think any success in any business, but it's particularly ours, so people driven, you got to be able to connect with players. And how do you connect with them? And are they connectable too? Are they legitimate? Are they genuine? Are they phony in whatever way? And so having some sense on a lot of that is important. And, you know, collectively, the club, I think, does a really, really good job of going through that process and coming up, we hope, and have been with very high caliber people that happen to be pretty good players too.
So the off-season process, I mean, you evaluate your schematic, any tweaks and adjustments that go on there, your veteran free agents. First of all, you decide you had 20 free agents, 16 of them were unrestricted free agents. You tagged T. Higgins. There were a couple of restricted free agents in the tight end position, a couple of exclusive rights free agents that were tendered. That's Browning and Adam Itis. So those guys, you know, you're down to 17 that you're making decisions on with your own. Everybody else is free agents. And then the draft. Man, I mean, no doubt everybody's team changes from a personnel standpoint, but that's a lot of inventory right there to take stock of, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, there's let me tell you, that the lights are burning long and late at the stadium right now in terms of the coaching staff and personnel going through the process you just mentioned, free agency, preparation for the combine, study of players that are draftable. And then now, after when the combine concludes, and this is far from concluding, we're active as heck for the next few days, but then furthering the process of the free agents, the pro free agents, and then also diving into the real continuing gathering information on these upcoming possible draftees. So, and then also when we have time, finding time to critique and improve schematically what we've done offensively, defensively, and in special teams. So it's, there is no real off season. I mean, we're cranking right now in terms of preparation, both in player acquisition and then also improving our ability to come up with an effective and successful scheme to employ when we get a chance to perform on the field coming up.
So what's the best performance, or maybe a couple of performances you've ever seen by a player at a combine? Is there anybody that just like, oh my gosh, these guys are all genetic freaks, but that was unbelievable? Or there's so many of them that, you know, you just can't pick one.
No, that's a great question, Dave. I come away every year, you know, with my, you know, just amazed at some of the individual testing that you'll see from these guys, whether it's a skilled athlete and their ability to jump or their speed, or a bigger guy who also has tremendous explosiveness and jumping or strength or speed. I mean, it's you called it, you said it correctly. I mean, they are genetic freaks. And you know, I when I first came, was privileged to work for the Bengals in 1997, and I saw these guys that, you know, I'd coached in college for 22 years and thought it was around some of the very best I'm around. Then you get to the NFL and you see some of these guys, it's mind-blowing. I mean, it's incredible what athletes can do. And in the 28 years, to see even the growth and development there, improved strength programs, conditioning programs, nutrition, size, I mean, all the things that go on, even equipment, these young men use, shoes and whatever the case may be, what they can do is unbelievable. And I mean, again, it is amazing to see the development that these athletes have, both mentally and physically.
When you're looking at edge guys, which is going to be, you know, one of your focuses, it's pretty deep. I mean, there's some pretty good number of guys that are draftable coming out of college off the edge. Now you've got the H boys. You have Osai, who's developing. You know, you have Murphy, who's developing. You have Gunter, who's, you know, still in the picture. I mean, you've got some young guys, and then you have like other free agents, some veteran free agents out there. I mean, it is quite a process. But do you think, I mean, at number 18, for example, edge probably isn't maybe necessarily the priority, but boy, if somebody slides and it's like, I can't believe that guy's there at number 18. It wouldn't be crazy if you pull the trigger on a guy off the edge, would it be?
No, not at all. And, you know, I think that we all can list a number of edge players, including, as you mentioned, the H boys, but across the league that are dominant players that can impact the game. And I think there's always an eye on that spot, because you get a dominant player or two at that spot, they can take over the game and impact the game. But the big playability that position provides is huge. And so I think that we'll always look at that should something present itself. Yes, we've got a good group, a tremendous group of young men there, as you mentioned, with Trey and Sam, and with Cam Sample and Gunner, all of them, you know, Joseph and Miles and Jeff, all those guys. I mean, there's six guys that I'm excited to have the privilege to work with that I think are very productive. However, we're always looking to improve every position. So, you know, we'll just see how it comes out. But again, it's a tribute. What we currently have there is a tribute to a lot of people's working hard in evaluations.
So inside the defensive tackle position, DJ Reader, unrestricted free agent, you know, coming off the surgery with the torn patella tendon, Josh Tupal is amongst the unrestricted free agents. So you think, okay, boy, there's probably fewer guys inside than there are on the edge in terms of the draft, in terms of number of prospects. Does that influence where you might address that possibility, that position?
Well, as a wise man said a long time ago, you better be strong up the middle. And when we, you know, with PJ and DJ in there, and coupled by Josh and Zach and other guys that have, you know, contributed in there, yeah, I think that's going to be certainly an area. It's always an area. You've got to be strong up the middle, you know, whether it be the front, interior defensive line, the linebacker position, the safety position. That's always got to be an area of focus, and clearly is right now, as, you know, we're seeing how DJ comes off of his surgery and so forth. He's looking great. We've seen him looking great at the facility. Very, very integral part to the success of our defense is DJ Reader. So that'll be, and believe it'll be a strong priority in getting him back into the stripes, if you will, in terms of our uniform. But both what he brings on the field and off the field as a leader, as a community involved person too. So anyway, yeah, big time focus in that spot.
I think, you know, some of these young edge guys, Osai has been, unfortunately, the injury bug, you know, has infected him. Hopefully that stays away for a while. The football gods will be kinder to him. Miles Murphy developing from the rookie to the second year. I just remember my rookie year to my second year is like, boy, as a rookie, it's like you don't really know what you don't know. It is a transition and adjustment there. That second year, you just feel so much more confident, so much more comfortable about everything. You project Miles Murphy to have that type of a year where, boy, he's got it figured out, and he's going to make a move here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we all saw that during the course of the season this year. Each and every week, as he got opportunities to play, you could see him becoming faster in his play, more instinctive in his play, more cognizant of where the plays were, and that just comes from repetition. He's a very smart young man. He watched the older players and learned from them. He didn't come in thinking he knew everything. He was very much a sponge in terms of listening and watching. And I was impressed how he developed into being the pro player that he's starting to continue to be. And then the other thing I think you got to realize is Joseph Osai, really 2 years ago was his first year. He didn't play at all as a rookie because of the injury he had. This was actually his second season
right.
in terms of actually playing. And thank the Lord, you know, he got through the season healthy. And he's there right now. We have a number of our players training at Paycor Stadium, and he's one of them. He's there every day. I'm very impressed and pleased with the continued development that he's making, certainly right now in the off-season program. So, both of these two guys we're going to count on and expect to continue to ascend in terms of their play and their production, for sure.
It seems like, you know, a big part of the evaluation of the players is their football mentality, their capacity to handle the versatility aspect of it too, because, you know, Coach Lou Anarumo, he likes guys that can do more than one thing. Hey, can he kick inside and rush inside as well as outside? Can he handle that, you know, that type of a versatility and make sure that he's not going to make assignment errors and everything goes along with it? You know, all these guys we've already talked about, these young players and, you know, veteran guys too, DJ Hill, DJ, these are all smart guys. I mean, when I talk to guys in the locker room, they're unbelievably good communicators. They're intelligent dudes, man. And I'm sure it translates into football IQ too, doesn't it?
Yes. And I think, again, what you just said is so accurate. I think the coaching staff has done a real, real good job, you know, portraying to the personnel staff the type of player that we want. We want value players. You just mentioned the guys that can rush on the edge, but they can rush inside. You get so much more value. Almost you get what we call a twofer. You get two for one when guys have that player and position flexibility.
Yep.
So, you know, and then Coach Anarumo is very adept at trying to take advantage of the strengths of the players and how they can get into positive matchups, if you will, with the opponent. So, a lot of praise has to go to the personnel staff and the coaching staff collectively working together to put together this type of roster where you get that kind of value. And we've got to continue to do that.
You know, Coach, we've talked about this before, but you mentioned it, the Cincinnati Bengals involve the coaching staff in terms of these personnel decision-making process. Maybe, you know, there's nobody in the league that calls more. I can probably feel comfortable in saying that. It just makes so much sense. I mean, you're the guys that live with them every day, teach them, work with them, help them improve. I mean, why not get your input? If you're going to have to bake the cake, why can't you be involved with deciding what goes in the recipe, right?
Absolutely. And I will forever be in debt to Mike Brown and the late Pete Brown and the staff that when I joined in 1997, I learned, you know, I've been a collegiate coach for 22 years and you know, I had to evaluate players and recruiting and all that. And so we were all in that environment, but I'd never done it as a professional coach. And the way when I came in, we were and still are very intimately involved in the evaluation process and the selection process. And I'll be in debt forever to Mike and everybody for that experience. I mean, when I first came in, the first 6 years I was with the Bengals, we not just me, but our coaching staff was on the road for probably 6 or 7 weeks. I went annually to 45 schools looking at players and evaluating them and testing them. And when you can get your hands on them and then you're responsible now to be able and accountable for a major part of the decision process on a selection, I mean, that's big time. And so I know I learned greatly from it. I welcomed it, but I also valued it, and I value it today. And what our staff has in terms of input to the selection process and the ranking of players is by far, I think, the strongest in the league. And that's when if you're going to work your tail off on a project or player acquisition, you want to kind of reap the benefits of those efforts that you put into it. Well, they're valued, highly valued by the Bengal organization, starting at the top of Mr. Brown. And boy, I think we all deeply appreciate that. When you say you're going to be working with these players each and every day, you've got legit input to that selection process. I don't know how you can beat it.
And it's not just the drafted players. I mean, I know everybody in the organization is very respectful and appreciative of what you've done going on the road and unearthing these college free agents and recruiting these guys and letting them know what it would be like to be a Cincinnati Bengal. And, I mean, you've done a hell of a job, being very influential and instrumental in getting a lot of kids that weren't drafted here to Cincinnati, and a lot of them panned out. That's real talent too, Coach, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I love, again, it's another privilege. You get an opportunity to connect with players and hope bring somebody perhaps that wasn't drafted to make the club. I mean, I love doing that. I just love the connection process that we get with these players. In fact, I sometimes get too attached to them between right now and the draft, and when we don't get them, I come away a little downside. It's a great, great experience. It's a great process. It's all part of trying to make a championship team, and thank God we've got that rolling at this time.
And you know, Coach, it's not just when the guys get drafted and come in the league, but now in free agency, when a guy goes out into veteran free agency, it's like personnel department, everybody, all the coaches, everybody has their notes and has their information on this kid when he was coming out of college. So it's a big collaborative effort. Once again, it's not just a guy making a call on somebody. It's a group effort, you know, with all this input and coming up with the best decision possible. There are so many benefits to it. It's unbelievable.
Well, there's no question. And what you just said is very, very accurate. I mean, we all have dealt with guys that we were close to in the evaluation process prior to the draft. That team, we didn't draft them, but we're getting them on the second time as a pro free agent. And those connections that you had oftentimes are extremely valuable. Number one, you know that you had a pretty good opinion about the player, but the player also knows you.
Right.
And so now that helps in the not only the acquisition process, but in the current development or continued development of the player once they've joined your team. So that's been fun, heck, too. I mean, and again, the club here really involves the coaching staff in that. When when a free agent visits. I remember when Riley Reiff came, you know, and I hadn't dealt with him before, but I got close to him in a date time when he was visiting at the facility. And I told him, I said, "Pal, let me just tell you," because I still think highly of Riley at any rate. I told him, I said, "Pal, you're not leaving here. You're not going to leave unless you become a Bengal." And I got all over him and kind of tussled with him a little bit. And, you know, I love that we all get an opportunity to impact these guys a little bit. So it's a lot of fun.
Coach, I mean, it's incredible. We're similar in age. We have similar experience with football. I mean, not including after high school and after our college careers, we still got 50 years. We have 5 decades in your case, either coaching or you know, collegiate or National Football League, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, 2020s. I mean, 6 decades, 50 years plus. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to say that with the Bengals here in the NFL playing and from a broadcasting standpoint. So, man, the game's been good to us. But I know one thing, Coach. You've been extremely good for the game of football.
No. Well, you're kind to say that. No, you – I can tell you, I would listen – I got to tell you this. And I had the privilege to get to know you the first time I was here and the great job you've done in coaching. I saw you playing when I was coaching at University of Cincinnati. And that's when I'd come up to Wilmington and watch you. And like you said, we're about the same age. Although I didn't go to the Hula Bowl or the East West, the Blue Gray, the Senior Bowl as a player. You made the rounds because you were a dynamite player coming out of Syracuse University. But at any rate, my point is that when I left the Bengals, and I've listened always for, you know, snippets that would come across of the Bengals when I was coaching at other teams to come back, and I'd always be listening for you and your enthusiasm and what you bring to the fans as a broadcaster, as a former player, insight, awareness, true energy has been second to none. So, well, I would say we've both been blessed to have the privilege to be around this game as long as we have, and your impact on not just, I mean, I've heard you do countless collegiate games in your career as a big time broadcaster. So kudos to you. We're both very, very fortunate. And you have clearly made the game much better. And I know this much, the Bengal fans, the Houdet Nation, think the world of Dave Lapham and all that he brings.
Coach, I appreciate you. I mean, the game has been kind to us and our families. I mean, there's no two ways about that for sure. And you are a great one, Coach. Not only are you a tremendous advocate for football in the National Football League, you're an unbelievable human being. I can state that for a fact. You are the best, sir. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you and the privilege to be with you today in the trenches, Dave. Thank you very much.
You're the man, Coach. Have a great one.
All right. You take care now.
Find a stud out there in Indy for us.
We will. Houdet.
Houdet, baby.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.